Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Atlantic Bushcraft Adventures. Tonight we are on episode 234, and we're going to talk a little bit about managing stress in an emergency. And if you read the little snippet there, synopsis, whatever it is called under their description, I don't know, you may know, and we've talked about this in other podcasts as well, and hopefully if you're on this channel, you're here for the right reasons. Not only are Ben and I bushcrafters, fancy that, but in past lives and in the past, we've both held first responder positions. You know what I mean? Ben's with search and rescue. As well as you have a little bit of a military background as well. Myself, well, I've been with the fire department, and I worked with the Department of Justice. And I mean, there was some other stuff. So we have a little bit of experience on this. Are we experts? Absolutely not. We have never pertained to be experts on anything in our lives. But we do have experience, and that's what this whole thing is about. Nomad joined us tonight. How's it going there, bud? Evening. What was that, Ben?
I just said hi, Nomad.
Oh. So this was kind of your topic. So why don't you lead us in what it means to you, Ben, and I'm just going to follow suit, bud.
Yeah. So, I mean, we all talk about bushcraft, that's generally why we're here, but we all know that sometimes things go wrong. We spend a lot of time for preparing and how things go wrong, but no matter how much prep time you do, sometimes things just go in a direction you have no idea that it's going to go in, and now you're in an emergency situation. And the situation generally doesn't matter, because we could spend 10 years just talking about potential things that could go wrong and what you might be able to do for it. But managing the stress for these situations is one of the most paramount things you can do. And I think that once you learn to manage the stress, everything else can kind of come down from that. And it's one thing you can do to manage stress, but this is the hard thing, and don't get stuck in this loop, is get rid of what makes the stress, right? Yeah. Whatever stress, you have to make it go away. But that's easier said than done. So how do you get to that point is managing the stress until you can. So yeah, that's the gist. That's where we're coming from. And how are we going to do that is probably a few steps, and I think we'll go through them. But the absolute first one, absolute bar none, is get control of your emotions and try to remain calm and think logically about your situation.
Yeah, and we've said this before. I think it was during our what to do if you get lost, which is a prime example of a situation that gets stressful. And I guess clarifying, folks, we do mean like an emergency stressful situation. Not that you went camping and you forgot the toilet paper. Is it a situation? Yes. Is it an emergency? Maybe. But most likely it's not. It's a massive inconvenience. We are talking like exactly this. You went out camping and now you're lost. You know what I mean? Yes. Just as an example. And one of the things that we've always said, take a minute. Accept the situation you're in, which is a little harder to do than, you know, to say, but take that breath, take a minute, sit down, take inventory. An inventory is not just what's on you, what's in your pack and stuff like that. That's your emotional inventory, your goal inventory, and basically what you want to, your emotional inventory, what your goals are. So if you're lost, it's either, you know, stay put and figure it out, or you're going to travel depending on your situation. And then how are you going to attain those goals? And I mean, once you get a gist of that, it brings a little calming effect in its own, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, the thing to keep in mind, like you said, is you could get lost, or say you just get separated from your team, your people, whoever you're out with, or somebody gets injured. All the first steps are always going to be the same. It's the following steps that will change as we deal with those steps. But the first step, like you said, is taking inventory of, you know, what is wrong? Identify the problem. And I think a lot of times that is definitely a problem. Is people just know something is wrong and they don't fully identify it, and they start running around trying to fix the things that they think they can fix and ignore the real problem. So identify your real problems.
not to interject, but just a prime example of that would be, are you truly lost? A good deal of time when somebody thinks they're lost, if they take that second, look around, they realize there are still some landmarks they recognize around them. That's taking that moment. Take the breath. Take your emotional inventory. Sorry, Ben, that's all I want to add into that.
Yeah, no, that's 100% right, though. You take that moment and look around and say, okay, am I lost? Or how lost am I? Because if you immediately think I'm lost, and this happens, somebody says, oh, I'm lost, and then they start beelining at one straight line thinking, if I keep walking in a straight line, I'm going to be fine. And first thing is, chances are you're not walking in a straight line. And two, you could very well be just going further away from where you want to be. So taking those moments to try and really figure it out. And really, in that situation, you aren't in a rush. You know, there are times when you have to act immediately. There's no doubt about it. If you fell down on top of your axe and you're bleeding profusely, you have to act. You need to stop that bleeding. But that is the one thing you want to concentrate on, that one problem that right away that you have to deal with. But take a look at each of your problems and saying, is this an immediate problem or is this a long-term problem? And being lost, honestly, is a long-term problem.
Yep. And right? Since a comment almost to that point, we've Dave joined us, Real Big Monkey One. Shout out to him. Check out his YouTube channel if you're your first time joining us. He says, in a wilderness emergency situation, remain calm and remember, it's a temporary situation, not forever. Which is true, and you have to figure out, much like Ben said, you know what I mean? So there's a couple stages to this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, like Ben was saying, we got to assess the situation. There is a lot of times when people come in, they're not truly lost. Or how lost are they? Are you, like, royally lost? And we're not just talking about, oh, I'm in the middle of the woods. Yeah, I'm just a little lost. It's no, how lost are you? How did you get to where you are? Where you're to, whatever you want to say. Like, how did you get there? Oh, you know, the last time I knew where I was only 5 minutes ago. Okay, maybe you should stay put. Or, oh, I don't know where I have been for like the last 24 hours. There's big differences between those two things.
Yeah. Yeah. So you said, I think what we're getting at here is you're taking stock of it. What is the problems? And you may have one, you may have 10. Lay each of your problems down and then prioritize them and what you can do. And then next, what are your possible solutions? And can you solve any of these problems quickly and easily? Right.
Have you ever heard of the STAR method? Which is a big thing. They use it in interviews and stuff like that. But the STAR method, which is an acronym, STAR, it's good for a lot of problem-solving skills. And it's a perfect thing to use in this. It's a big acronym we used in the government. I'm sure they use it in other places and stuff too. But it's STAR. So situation. What is the situation you're in? Much like we said. Task, what is the task you need to accomplish? Actions, what are you going to do to accomplish said task? And then results, are you getting the results that you wanted to complete the task by taking the actions? It's kind of like this ongoing thing, right? But that's a good way to sum up and take stock in some stuff that's going on around you. Okay, you're lost. What's the situation? I'm lost. What's the task? Am I going to stay put or am I going to move? Am I 5 minutes lost or am I 48 hours lost? There's a difference there. What's the actions? Okay, I'm going to stay put. I need to build shelter. I need to make myself visible. Or, okay, I'm going to travel. I need to start picking good landmarks far away and make sure that I'm staying in a semi-straight line and leave a trail so that if anybody finds it, they know where I'm to and how they can get to me. That's your tasks and your actions and then the results. Am I effectively staying put? Is my shelter good? Do I have a decent, way of signaling, be it whistle, gunshots, reflections, whatever, just out in an opening, spelling out help or SOS with rocks? Or if you're moving, you know, is it going the way you thought? Are you covering the distance you thought you were going to cover? Do you still have food? Do you still have water? Is that becoming more of an issue now that you're traveling? Like, these are all things you got to weigh into this.
Yeah. And when we get to, you know, tasks or actions, what tools do I have that can alleviate this, right? Like, do I have a first aid kit? Does my phone have a navigation system? Which generally the answer is yes. Do I have a GPS? What do I have that can solve my particular problems? If you don't know what you do, do I have enough signal to call for help or look up, you know, solutions to my problems? Do I have, you know, other tools, you know, a knife, shelter? Is there things I can do to make myself comfortable? All these things. So taking stock and sitting down and looking at everything you have and all your problems and then looking at it from a big picture and taking that deep breath. So stop, take that big deep breath, identify your problems, identify what you have for tools, and then what actions can you take? And once you deal with one thing, then the next task doesn't seem so daunting.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's 100%. Just take that breath. It makes things simpler. You're processing the stress. First step, you recognize you're in a stressful situation, of course. Then take that breath, assess the situation. And once again, we're just using the example of being lost because it's related to bushcraft. But this could be literally anything. You're not lost anymore. I think you used this example at the start, Ben. You and a couple buddies are out there. All of a sudden, somebody falls and sprains their ankle or breaks their ankle, whatever the case may be. You're now potentially in an emergency situation, but how much of an emergency is it? Are you 15 minutes to get out? All right, you and one of your other buddies can probably help them out. Or are you like 5 days in the woods and it's very little possibility of getting somebody back there? Oh, well, now things have changed. Like, you got to weigh those options. And maybe what the best option is for Ben and I in this situation is not going to be the best option for two other people in the same situation. It's going to weigh heavily on knowing your own skills and limitations, the gear you have on hand, and the specific situation you're in.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. Right? I mean, you made a good point. Are you one day out or are you 5 days out? And what is the real consequences? Like, okay, say you do get separated from your people, or say someone does have a sprained ankle, and say you are a ways in the woods. Is it an emergency if you don't make it out on time? So do you have time to get out? Like, and if it is, why? Is it the emergency because the wife is going to get mad at you, or is it the emergency that something else serious is going to happen?
No, completely. Just a couple comments here so I don't get them passed up. So Melissa commented on there last time she was on, the last talk that Mel was on doing one of her talks was recognizing danger from discomfort and being able to confidently respond to danger is a real skill and you can develop it by some of the things that we're talking about here tonight. And Nomad, knowing what you have and how you can use it can relieve a lot of stress, whereas not knowing how to use, say, a tourniquet would add to the stress. Because we've said this in the past too, Ben, any gear you have, and I was going to talk about this later, but good segue for right now, a way to handle stress or deal with stress is by practicing. And I know that sounds stupid, but what we mean by practicing is, like, in the fire service, we train. We go into mock scenarios where we may be doing live fire training. We may be doing primary surveys or, you know, secondary surveys or whatever. We train with these situations so that when the real thing happens, hopefully a little muscle memory kicks in, but you have a database in your head of situations you can draw from. They're never going to be exactly the same, but at least you have a little cannon fodder back there to start coming up with an idea. Now, I'm not saying go out in the woods and get yourself lost. No. But if the next time you're out camping, as you're sitting around the campfire, just take stock and go, okay, if I happen to be in the middle of the woods with this exact setup and I just realize, you know, it was late at night, I set up and I'm not where I thought I was, how would I handle this? And you can do what's called table topping. And that's exactly what that is. Or go outside and practice with your gear. Just like Nomad said, there's no good having a tourniquet if you don't know how to use it. Once again, I'm not telling you to put a tourniquet on your arm when you don't need to put a tourniquet on your arm. But you can take a first aid course. You can watch some YouTube videos, which is better than nothing, on how some of the stuff works. I mean, there's things you can do to prepare for a bad situation before it becomes a bad situation. Give yourself some food in your brain to help with that situation. Is that, I think that makes sense, doesn't it, Ben?
Definitely makes sense. And every organization that deals with high stress situations, be it the military, search and rescue, fire department, police, they practice. They practice, practice, practice. So for me, like with the military, I was with the infantry. We would be walking along and someone would say, show fire. And everyone drops to the ground and they find cover right away. So that if we ever end up in that situation, we know that's exactly what we have to do. Because if you don't train for it, the first thing most people do is stand up and look around, like, where?
Yeah.
And you just make yourself a huge target. If you're a firefighter and you have to enter a building, you have to get used to the fact that there's going to be smoke, there's going to be flames, there's going to be loud noises, and you're going to be expected to get in and out. You're going to have to be able to take your gear on and off at times because you get through holes and all these things. Like, there's training. And if you know how to do it and you're used to doing it, you can do it quickly and efficiently, and you can ignore that rabble noise and distractions. If you get lost, it's an easy thing to test and practice with. Get a buddy to walk you in, blindfold it. Don't have to go far, 50, 60 feet off the road, oftentimes is enough. And just say, get him to just sit there. He's not to move, not to do anything. Say, okay, what would you do in this situation? You see how long it takes him to recognize something.
Yeah, that's actually a great thing. I never even thought of that. And it sounds so simple, but it's a great idea.
Yeah. So you can practice getting lost. That's not actually that hard. And the beauty is, when you're doing it, you can always have a GPS there that's set up that they'll bring you home if the worst comes to worst. And so you always have a backup. But getting used to that situation and trying to not have to use that extra tool, that, the easy out, can help with that. And getting used to that helps build it up. You say, okay, I've been here before. I know what I need to do. The first thing I need to do is find some major landmarks, things that I can recognize. If I was dropped off in the middle of Newfoundland, let's say near the town of Buchans, the very first thing I'm going to do is look for things like Ski Hill, Notch Mountain, things that I could recognize from miles away and say, okay, I know where that is. And be looking at it, I know I'm probably on the west side. And I know that if I'm on the west side, chances are if I head south, you know what I mean?
And that's it. That's all, once again, taking stock. So, yeah. I know, folks, we're beating that horse pretty bad now, but it's true. The biggest thing you can do to manage stress is take a breath and assess the situation. It's really important. It's one of the first things they teach you in most of first responding, in military and stuff like that. It's, yes, crap's going to hit the fan, but that doesn't mean you have to freak out. Take a second, and honestly, that's all it takes is a minute or two, and assess the situation. Because down the road, you're like, I don't got time for that. Well, you know what? You're going to waste more time running around like a chicken with your head cut off than if you had just sat down for the 5 minutes and figured it out. And you'll probably come up with a better plan that's going to use less energy and most likely help you better than just flying off the cuff.
I see it a lot in my day-to-day life. I see people who are presented with a problem and their knee-jerk reaction is, I have to act on this right now to make it go away. And I understand that knee-jerk reaction, but the reality is, rarely is a knee-jerk reaction the best action. And this is interesting because there's a bit of conflict here. When I was with the military, one of the things they told me is, a good leader is a leader who will act. Regardless of whether he makes a good decision or a bad decision, if he acts, is better than somebody who makes no decision at all. And I partly agree with that, but the reality is, somebody who acts with precision and forethought is better than somebody who acts without it. And so if you have to act, sometimes the best thing to do is take a step back, try to, as much as you can, remove yourself from the situation and then look at it from a logical point of view and say, okay, I definitely don't know the way out, or I definitely know this person is injured. How do I prevent him from getting worse? So you deal with that. Now, what's my next step? You don't immediately get someone cut. See, I got to get him to the hospital and start rushing while he's bleeding. That's not going to help him. You need to deal with the wound, and you need to make sure that he's going to make it out safe and sound. It may be better to spend a night in there because he's not going to make it out in the dark without further injuring himself. And if you're leading somebody who's already injured in the dark, you're going to get exhausted quicker. So you have to look at it and say, okay, why do I need to get out instantly? Is it actually beneficial to all of us for us to hightail it out, or to do this or to do that? And you may oftentimes find that your immediate thought isn't all that important. But your secondary or third thought is, so take your time to look at those things and say, okay, this is what happened. People are going to worry. They'll be coming looking for us. But wait a second. I have an injured person. I could really use the help. So if I don't make it out on time and help starts coming, that's a good thing.
No, completely. Another comment from Dave here. First aid kits need to be separate from medicine kits. Never pile everything into one kit. You don't want to be digging through aspirins and antacids for bandages while you're bleeding out. And that's actually not a bad idea, or very minimal compartmentalized. I don't have them so much separate in separate kits, though I do like to think of behind that, Dave. I have my med kit with just like a top pouch that I use for my meds and stuff, but I do 100% keep them separated from my main crash bag. And like, I layer my stuff on my crash bag for importance, which means I may be digging through compression bandages and splints to get to a band-aid. But once again, that's prioritizing my needs. If I need a compression bandage or a triangle bandage or a splint, chances are I need that quicker than if I just need a band-aid to cover a splinter or something like that. Or at least that's my thinking, for right, wrong, or otherwise.
Yeah, well, one of mine has this. It opens up like a book, and each tab is for a different situation. And so there is duplicates in some, but for the most part, you can quickly get to what you want. And I think that's equally important. Yeah, separate unlike things away, put things that you're going to need the most more accessible, things that you won't need right away can be put elsewhere, probably soon. Like medicines, you're not going to need those instantly. Rarely is a medicine going to save you, but often a Band-Aid will, or a tourniquet or something like that. So yeah, if you have to separate them, or you wish to separate them, you know, make sure that you separate logical things. What are nice to haves? What are immediate needs? First aid kits should be easily accessible. They shouldn't be at the bottom of your pack.
Nope, mine always hangs on the outside in its own little pouch. And anybody that doesn't do that, it's one of the recommendations I will give you is, one, try and get a separate pouch for your first aid stuff so that it's not in your gear bag, just not thrown in a pocket. And two, that it's easily accessible from the outside of your bag, because if you cut your hand, for instance, with an axe, let's say you were splitting kindling, you missed and you lopped a finger off, I can guarantee you, you're probably going to try and keep as much pressure on that. It's human nature, and it's a good thing to do, which means at a certain point, you're probably going to be trying to fumble through this stuff with one hand. I can tell you it's way easier to fumble through stuff with one hand in this instance when it's outside and you can see it than when it's buried in a bag and you got to dig it out first.
Yeah. And anyone who's been in a stressful situation, if you're asking somebody else to get something for you and they don't know where it's to, that can be almost as stressful, and they're going to be, I don't see it, where is it, things like that. So making that, like, most first aid bags and stuff are bright colored, like reds or white with red lettering at the very least, and should be easily identifiable and easy to get to. So wherever you put it, like you said, you hang it on the outside of your bag, that's great. A lot of my military style bags have, like, the Molly webbing is really easy to attach things on the outside, and my hiking ones always have a couple of external pouches, and that's where I would put it. So it'd be like that pouch, open it, you'll be fine. But yeah.
And I just had a thought, and I'm trying to think of what it was.
Oh no.
I don't know. I was holding on to it too until you finished, and then I kid you not, my dog ran by, and my mind wandered off to something we were talking about before the podcast. I completely lost my train of thought, but that's what it is. You'll notice that we said managing stress in an emergency situation, because that's all you're doing, you're managing. If you're trying to look how to alleviate stress, that's something completely different, and there's probably not going to be a great way to completely alleviate stress in an emergency situation. If it's an emergency situation, it's stressful by its nature, so don't think that you're going to completely get rid of the stress and everything's going to be hunky-dory. The stress is going to be there. You need to recognize it and manage it. And I guess that was the only thing I want to say on this that I didn't clarify at the beginning. Because I know somebody out there is going, well, you never told me how to get rid of my stress. Well, we're not trying to get rid of your stress. We're trying to get you to manage the stress and recognize the situation.
The stress is there for a reason, though. It's, you know, it's kind of an alert to telling your body it needs to ramp up, it needs to do something. It's going to give you a bit of adrenaline. you're going to have maybe a bit more energy, maybe a bit more strength for temporarily. That stress is a natural reaction to a logical problem, and your ability to deal with it and manage that stress in its best ability is going to do a ton of good for you. If you just let the stress go uncontrolled, you're very well going to make additional mistakes. So just, you know, that's the thing. Don't.
I do actually have a very simplistic exercise, and it's not mine. It's one I use to help you try and manage stress a little bit. So when you get to that point where you feel overwhelmed, it's just a lot. You don't know what to do. You're getting to that, you know, your borderline running around like a chicken with your head cut off. And I'm sure you've heard of this one too, Ben. It's the 4-7-8 breathing method.
Maybe.
Okay, so it's real simple. Once again, not mine. It's all over the internet. I don't claim this is mine. Somebody told it to me, and it actually works. So the way this works is it slows your heart rate down, and you're kind of saturating your blood with oxygen, which floods you. It gives you like an endorphin release or something like that, which naturally calms you down a little bit. So you breathe in for 4 seconds. Man, you just mentally count. You don't need a stopwatch on this. But anyway, you breathe in 4 seconds through your nose, hold that breath for 7 seconds, and then exhale through your mouth, kind of like, you know, lips together, like you were blowing out a candle, for approximately 8 seconds. You do this in like 4 increments or so, and it will legitimately, like, it's one of the breathing exercises they give you to lower blood pressure. Like, if you have a spike, your anger issues, high blood pressure, yada, 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 they'll give this to you to lower the blood pressure, but what it's actually doing is calming you down a little bit, and that's what this does. Once again, look it up online, folks. I'm not an expert on this. I can just say that it actually works. It does calm you down. It gives you at least a couple moments of calmer clarity thinking. Hopefully it's enough that you can break that cycle. And this is what happens with stress. Is stress is accumulative. It builds up and it builds up and builds up, and then it almost snowballs. It hits this point where it just becomes so overwhelming that you can't get it back down to a manageable state. And that's kind of where this comes in, I guess. But yeah, anyway, it's 4-7-8 breathing. Look it up online. It does work. It's one of the things that they'll tell you going in interviews. If you get nervous in interviews, do 4-7-8 breathing to calm yourself down beforehand. And it's proven. There's studies that have been done where people that do this tend to do better on interviews than people that don't do this and stuff like that, because they were in a calmer state of mind. But yeah, that's just one little exercise that I'm aware of that I have used, and I can report back that does work.
Yeah. No, sounds good. I know there's one for people with anxiety too, is to look around and count things.
Yeah, I've heard of that one.
Like count one, find one blue thing, one green thing. There's different things, but the idea is to get your mind thinking on something different. And these are good methods, especially if you're at the point of stress where you can't function at all.
And that is shutdown stress. And that is a real thing as well. For anybody that's wondering, you can actually reach a point of stress. You know, they kind of make fun of it in cartoons and stuff. You just lay down in the fetal position. That's actually a real threshold. At a certain point, your body can't handle no more, and it goes into basically shutdown mode. And that's where you get the basically laying in the fetal position thing. You just, even if you tell yourself, hey, this needs to be done, you cannot physically get your body to work the way it's supposed to.
Yeah, you're truly overwhelmed. And everyone has a different level of where they would get overwhelmed. And someone compared it to me as, like, not everyone's bucket is the same size. And so some people get overwhelmed at stuff that you wouldn't get overwhelmed at all, and then other people get, you know, seem to be able to take a lot more than you. And it's because, and the, like you said, it was a cumulative. Well, every piece of stress goes in and fills your bucket. Well, some people's bucket might not be as big as yours, or their experiences may not be as good as yours. And then all of a sudden, their stresses are much greater because they see so many more problems than you do, where you've already got experience and training and knowledge, and you're like, okay, 80% of this is not an issue for me. So I'm only really worried about two or three things, and then you can deal with that. But if you are in an inexperienced outdoors person and you're lost, all of a sudden there's wild animals, there's no food, there's no water, I don't know how to get out, there's a birthday party tomorrow, and you have like 100 things going through your head, and you will stress yourself out. Where someone else would be like, well, I'm lost, but I've been lost before. I know I got plenty of food. I know I can go 7 days without food anyways. Some of us can go a lot longer than 7 days.
I can probably get 3 weeks out of that.
Right? Similar with water. I know I can go this long. Right? You know, if you can start eliminating your stresses by just sitting there and looking at each one and say, okay, is this a real problem or is this something I can deal with? Once you get it narrowed down to the ones that are real problems, it gets easier. And then what are my possible solutions? And when you're working on one solution, you can kind of forget about the other ones. And what your mind will naturally do, in the back of your head, it's dealing with those problems too. It's not in your forefront. But when you come around to those, oftentimes there'll be some ideas coming in. Be like, I can do this or I can do that. And it'll work. But yeah, you just have to, and it's hard. And I think I said it at the beginning. And I equate it for me, it's a lot like when you're doing first aid. You treat all first aid situations as if there's shock involved, because there generally is, right? And how do you deal with shock? Deal with the problem. So if somebody cuts themselves, how do you deal with the shock? You deal with the cut. Once the cut gets bandaged and covered and isn't bleeding anymore, that person's shock will relieve, because all of a sudden they know they're going to be okay. Stress is the same thing. How do you deal with stress? You deal with the problem, but you have to deal with it in a good way, because if you're not dealing with it, that stress just gets longer and longer and longer and more wearing. So if you're lost and all you're doing is running around trying to not be lost, you're going to fill that bucket really quick. And then if you're lucky, they're going to find you curled up at the bottom of a tree crying.
Which honestly may not be the worst thing. Maybe you stayed put and it made you, you know, gave them an area to find you in. But you don't know that you pulled it off entirely by fluke.
But I'll tell you a story, and this is one that Gilbert, he was the leader for Search and Rescue. He talked about going for find this old guy one time, and when they found him, he had a beautiful camp set up. He had a shelter, he had a little fire, he was cooking up a meal, and they walked in, and he's like, what's going on? And they're like, we're looking for you. And he's like, oh, I was out rabbit hunting, and I just didn't think I was going to make it back in time, so I set up camp. Gilbert's, I wanted to set up there with them. I was like, we just spend the night. We'll come out tomorrow. Right? So if you're going to get lost, you want to get lost like a boss. When they find you, you should have a nice shelter set up, maybe a good fireplace set up, ready to go. If they come across you and you're perfectly set up and ready for the night, then they're going to be like, this is the man. This guy knows what he's doing. Right?
And honestly, having the confidence to be able to do that does a lot for your stress before you ever go in. Then when stuff happens, it's not such a big deal.
Yeah. Right. So if the stress is something that's long-term, dealing with short-term problems, it's going to keep your mind off that problem and deal with the things that are short-term. So short-term, you know, you're lost, but in short-term, it's getting cold. Okay, you can deal with the cold. Let's build that shelter. Let's build that fire. Let's deal with that, and then we'll deal with the next thing, right? Okay, I'm thirsty. Well, I happen to have water. Okay, excellent. I can drink that. Or there's a stream just down there, and I still have a pot so I can boil water. I got nowhere to go. I don't know where I'm to. Right? So you deal with that issue. While you're down there, maybe you find some food. Next thing you know, you got a decent camp. You got some food. You got some water. You'll be, you know, again, dealing with those things. Dealing with the things you can. And not wasting time on things you can't change. Because that's the other thing. Is there something you can't fix? You can't fix that. Don't waste time on that. Waste time on the things you can't. Not waste. Spend the time on the stuff that you can effectively do.
Exactly. Accepting that some things are out of your control, not only in a loss situation, but just in your life in general, is a major accomplishment for the majority of us. At a certain point, you will realize there are just things out of your control. It tends to happen later in life, not usually in your teenage years or your 20s, because then you're generally 10 feet tall and bulletproof. You know what I mean? Everything's under your control. But then you start getting into your later years and you realize, okay, there's some things that are just completely out of my control, and that's okay. Take that mentality over to everything you do, your work life, your activities, your hobbies, camping, bushcraft. It's a good thing to realize. Sometimes you just can't do crap about it. That's okay.
Yeah. But there's almost always some stuff you can do. So as bad as the situation gets, as not ideal as your situation is, you can deal with some stuff. And take your time, open up those ideas that you can deal with, and deal with those one at a time. And, you know, I think that's the other thing, like laying it out as a priority. What do I need to deal with now? Figuring out the order of what you want to deal with. Don't try to jump ahead too many steps, because when you skip those, they come back to haunt you.
Yep. And that's the other thing. In a stressful emergency situation, once again, we're hammering that dead horse. Taking your time and slowing down is going to be more beneficial to you than trying to get through stuff with literally brute strength and ignorance. And this is coming from a guy that's gotten through most of his life with brute strength and ignorance. You know what I mean? But I can tell you, if you just slow down through the whole thing, not just take that moment, that's great. But then even as you're accomplishing your tasks and you're going about your activities, do them a little more slowly and a little more cautiously. Because let's say you are lost, going back to that. You don't want to be lost and injured. You don't want to add to your problems. So slowing down a little bit during all of it, it gives you that time to really process what you're doing and make sure you're not adding to your problems. Firefighting, prime example. You arrive on scene, you're in your gear, you know there's somebody in the room, so you're suiting up, you're rushing in, but there's nobody on the hose. You ran in before it was safe to go in. So, you're lost, you want to start moving. Okay, you're moving, but are you moving in a good direction? You know what I mean? And you can figure that out. Like, you can make a basic compass out of two sticks and the sunlight and get an idea of where you're to. You know what I mean? Or at least figure out where you should be going. You know what I mean? Like, even if I go into the woods, I usually take a glance at a map and realize, okay, I'm mostly heading in north. If something happens, if I head south, that's going to be my best option. At least get me a cardinal direction that I know I need to head in, be it north, south, east, west, whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter. Know that heading in this direction gives me the best opportunity of being found or finding someone. Or it's going to lead me to a river. Like, if I travel west, there's absolutely no way I can miss this river because it covers the entire west side of me for the next 40 kilometers. Okay, now that I've gotten to the river, I know I have water. And I know at the top of the river, that's where residences are. You know what I mean? Or whatever. It gives you an idea. Just slow it down. I'm not going to keep going. Just slow it down.
Yeah. So, I think we've covered it in a lot of ways. And it's not hard. It's not difficult. When stressful situations come up, step back. Take a deep breath. Deal with the problems you can in an order that makes sense. And you will get there. Know that, you know, what's ultimately going to have to happen is going to have to happen. In the most stressful situation, you may have to just commit to you're spending the night where you're to, but you deal with what you can. And like we said earlier, the things that are completely out of your control, you cannot control the fact that there's a storm front coming in. But what you can control is whether you're out in the open when it happens or if you're under shelter.
Yeah, 100%. And if you keep seeing me look to the right, I don't know if this is a bot that wandered in or somebody that's truly just giving us a compliment, but this comment says, sorry this is unrelated, but y'all are kind of cute. So I'm really hoping that was to both of us, but it was probably to you, Ben. And anyway, Nomad says the solution isn't always a bigger hammer. And I say something very similar. It's if you're a hammer, everything's a nail. It's also not the best way to go about things. You know what I mean? A bigger hammer is not necessarily the answer, and not everything's a nail if you are a hammer. So once again, that ignorance and brute strength, the hammer, just don't always throw it at something.
Yeah.
Make sure it's focused a little. I mean, we've been doing 234 episodes, and this is the first time we've ever been called cute. I don't care if it's not a real person. Hopefully it is. I'm going to take the compliment.
He's excited. First time I ever got called cute, he said.
But yeah, we've covered this in a lot of ways. The big takeaway, folks, is try to remain calm. Easier said than done with stress. We understand that. But even if you can be calm for little windows to try and manage that stress, it's going to do fathoms for you. In those little windows of calmness, at least get your plan together and start working towards what your goal needs to be. Recognize what your goal is. Just because you're lost doesn't necessarily mean that your goal is to get found. Maybe your immediate goal is, it's going to be cold tonight. You need to get some heat or some shelter or whatever. Or I've been lost for 3 days and I'm out of water. Well, now you need to find water. That's a higher priority than needing to be found. Just recognize your goals, make them realistic, and then accomplish your tasks to complete those. I mean, that's it. Are you trying to find that comment? Are you trying to?
Oh, I found a comment. I looked up their account just to see if I could find it.
Oh, okay.
They've been joined since 2011. I can tell you that. That's about it.
Oh, well, maybe. That's a real compliment. You both look good, but in a separate
roses way. Are red.
Okay,
statistics
I'm sold.
Women are more
well,
likely
thank
to
you
pregnant.
Very much. Yeah. We appreciate the compliment.
We do.
No, genuinely we do. As a couple of like hillbillies from the sticks, we'll take what we can get. But yeah, no, I mean, I want to say there's no secret to managing stress, but there is a secret to managing stress. It's be ready for it. Recognize it's going to come and recognize what you can do about it. Recognize what you can't do about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, great point there, Dave. Some people are going to get stressed over Hurricane Lee coming. Being prepared might alleviate the stress. Great example, because that is rocking right through here in Nova Scotia. We're supposed to get it Sunday. We're getting a 72-hour bag or a 72-hour box, whatever you want to call it, ready. Here where I'm at, there's a good chance, even if the hurricane doesn't hit here, the power's still going to go out. So I picked up a little extra gas for the generator. I made sure we had lots of canned foods. I dug out all my camping stoves, so my butane stove, my propane stove, and even my twig stove is all out where I can find it. I made sure we had extra batteries for flashlights. I made sure we have batteries for our radio. These are all little things that I've been doing over the last week just to make sure we're ready for the hurricane so that when it does hit, which means if I've done all this, folks, you're probably safe in Nova Scotia. Probably blow right by us now because I went through all this. But if it does hit us and it all goes to hell, what's the difference? I mean, yeah, I'm going to be without power. That's going to be the worst case. Second to that is I'm going to lose water because I'm on a well. I don't have sewer I don't have town water or anything like that. So I got to prepare for that, which means I got to fill my bathtub. Still not really that big a deal. You know what I mean? So that's the worst of it. Oh, there's no power and I got to flush my toilet with a pitcher. Not like a drawing pitcher, but a pitcher of water.
No, I mean, that's it though. Like if you lose power, that could be for some people an emergency, but what can you do about it? Like you said, if you already have enough water, if you have a power backup, if you know not to shut down, open your fridge anymore, you absolutely have to. Maybe you stockpile a little bit of ice in your deep freeze to make sure it lasts longer. These things will help with those situations, right?
Okay, so our secret, well, not a secret, our admirer, Petra. People will tell you to touch grass whenever you're really stressed. I went with that, and now Garden 24/7, ultimate stress relief is watching plants grow. I've heard this somewhere else, now that they mentioned it. I have heard, and I remember there being a study done, and we're talking like you're pulling my memory from a long ways off here, but I do remember this study, and people that go out and interact with the outdoors, specifically grass, tend to have higher tolerance to stress, and when a stressful situation happens, tend to be able to handle it better.
Hmm.
Interesting information. Yeah, I forgot about that. We talked about that when we were in natural resources once. But yeah, no, totally. Go outside, touch grass in your day-to-day life. That will probably make you feel better. I know you and I, Ben, are stress relievers. We go to the woods. Like even our wives, we use that expression. We're going to the woods. They know what that means. That means we're going to the woods. We're disappearing into the woods. We may be back today. We may be back tomorrow. We're bringing some stuff. We got some stuff to work out. You know what I mean?
Sometimes what they'll do is they'll tell us, go to the woods.
Yeah, I've had that too. And now my daughter, Lily, is starting, whenever she gets mad, she's like, I want to go to the woods. She doesn't even really know what it means, but that's what she's doing. Yeah. I've had her out to the deer stand and stuff like that. So that's what she thinks the wood is. But not great for emergency stress, but definitely good for chronic stress on life, work, family. No, I completely agree with you, Petra. Like the touching the grass thing, I know that's real. I've heard this before. I completely forgot about it until right now, so thank you, but I have heard this before. And I do encourage people to go out there and check that out, too. There is some other studies that have been done with scientific backup, not just Ben and I and our personal experiences, because we're not scientists and we don't profess to be experts. But there are some great things out there with little things, like go for a barefoot walk in your lawn. That helps manage stress. Or, you know, somewhere somebody out there has done tests on this, and you can pick and choose what works for you. Maybe you don't get a front lawn because you're in the city and your stress is different. You have urban jungle stresses. But there's other ways to handle that too.
Motorcycles. Motorcycles.
And I guess the last note I will have on that is managing your day-to-day stress goes a long way for handling critical incident stress. If that makes sense. Because knowing how to manage your day-to-day stress is one thing, but alleviating that stress or figuring out how to solve some of that stress, once again, we're back to the bucket thing, Ben. Your bucket's not so full going into it. So yeah, you just got a whole downpour of stress, but the bucket was empty to begin with.
I gotta say this because I know both of us do this, but I said, you know, motorcycles solve it. Both of us ride motorcycle, and we ride motorcycle for stress.
Yeah, there's no 100%. ATVs, motorcycles, like, find your outlet. Honestly, motorcycling happens to be ours, or bushcrafting, or whatever. And I mean, it's not just one thing that's going to alleviate your stress. There's different things for different days. You know what I mean? Like, there's different. Sometimes a really good bike ride will alleviate more stress than if I'd gone camping for the weekend. And sometimes just going for a walk in the woods is better than 2 days of biking. So depends. Go with your gut and see what makes you happy.
Epetra said they garden.
Yes.
Right. That's a great stress reliever. Anything that allows your mind to focus on something else and pay attention to something else can help alleviate stress. Reading a good book. You know, all these things help, and it's an important step for it. So,
I mean, we're coming up on 50 minutes, Ben. I don't think we need, like, I don't got anything more to say on this topic. I know I've gone around in circles a couple times, folks. That's my thing. Y'all know that now.
But yeah, anyways, like I said, we'd love to hear from you if you get out and do stuff. But if you are out and do stuff and something does go wrong, remember to take a step back, take a breath, and do things as you need to. But in reality, is if nothing goes wrong, it might be the one thing that you do for the day that gets rid of a lot of the stress that you've been accumulating from everything else. So in the end, getting in the woods can very well be a help for your day-to-day stress and can be a great method for managing stress on a day-to-day.
For sure. I guess my challenge to you folks out there is we are starting to get some comments in some of our videos now, and I do read them all and I try to answer them all. So anybody listening out there, regardless of date and all that, what's your methods to, you know, manage stress? Maybe we can get a little comment thing going down here and we can give some pointers to other people, like-minded individuals. Everybody has stress, not just in bushcrafting, through your day-to-day lives. What's your folks' methods of managing stress? Please keep it decent for YouTube. That's all I ask. We don't want any weird stuff in there. But, yeah, how do you folks deal with stress? A prime example of some of the comments we've been having, only because I wanted to bring some light to this because it's good information. Last week we did an episode on stealth camping. John Doe left some comments there, and I hope you listened to this, John. I did see them. I liked them. I kind of want to pick your brain on some of it. He's actually doing a stealth camping lifestyle. If you haven't read the comments yet, Ben, jump back and check them out. I kind of want to pick this guy's brain. He may be somebody we ask on the channel, at least in the comments, and we'll talk to him at some other time. But yeah, we're actually starting to get some decent comments coming back on our stuff. And yes, we read them 100%.
I'm loving Really Big Monkeys. Oh.
To each their own, sir, to each their own. But yeah, that's my challenge for you folks out there today. I'd really like to hear how you guys, how you folks manage your stress. We've told you how we manage ours and some of the things that come up to us. So yeah, that's it for me.
Good for me too. All right. Awesome. Good luck, guys. Get out there. Have some fun.
Night all. See you next week.